Well, the Advent season is a time of preparation. And there was a time that the people were preparing for the coming of the Messiah. And as Lori said, we know that the Messiah has come. And so now is a time of preparation for us to prepare for the second coming of Christ. And today we start off the Advent season talking about hope. And I thought, man, what kind of a title can I put with that? And I had this great insight. Our hope. And it's pretty simple. Our hope. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And we'll be in Romans today. And I want to look at it a little differently today. Because we can talk about our hope. And we sang some beautiful songs today. Singing about our hope. And unto us a child is born. And silent night. For me as an old man, I think about when I was a young man. And those songs, let me correct that, some weren't even written back then when I was little. But Silent Night, those songs have special meaning to me. And coming into church and flowers and a Christmas tree. And some people think, my gosh, does a Christmas tree belong in a church? I don't know, does a piano, drums, Andrew? Where's our drummer? He left. He's down the hall. They do in some and not in others. It belongs in our church. We don't put it up there and say, this is a symbol of Jesus Christ. Like we do for our cross. And say, this is the cross. This is a tree that you hung the Savior on. The New Testament, Dwayne and I laugh about that. And we don't laugh about it, but we laugh about it because so many times as we were going through in Bible study the Scriptures, and I said, remember the Savior, the one you hung on a tree. Remember you guys used a tree to crucify Him. And constantly they were reminding the others, yeah, that guy? Yeah, you put him on a tree, remember? And you hung him up there. And you put him to death. So today as we look at hope, Lori said, without hope we're what? Hopeless. And we don't want to be a hopeless people. And we don't want to be a hopeless generation. And without hope, life loses its meaning, does it not? And we have to find purpose and we have to find meaning, and that comes from our hope. And over at my mother's house for Thanksgiving, she had my oldest brother do the blessing. Mom, you got a pastor in the house, right? I'm just thankful I didn't do the blessing, because what my brother spoke was so powerful. And it was from the heart. And he said, we each have pain. That's unbearable and unthinkable to each and every one of us here today. And he said, but I'm thankful today that we get up each morning and come back at it. And we all have our different levels of pain, if you will, meaning each one of our pains is different. Each one of our struggles is different. And he was thankful that our family had the strength to get up and keep coming back the next day. And the next day and the next. And it was so powerful. And I told him, I said, man, Lord, thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for faith. I'd have gone through the standard thing and it really made me think. What are we truly thankful for? And he was thankful that everything we'd been through, each one of our struggles and sufferings, different from the other. And he was thankful that we kept coming back and that our family is still there today. And I thought, how could you not be thankful for that? So Romans chapter 8 is where we're starting today. And we'll just be in a few scriptures in Romans. Romans chapter 8 verse 24. And it says, we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. Lord, I hope you give me a cross to hang around my neck. I already have one. I don't need to hope for that anymore. I have it. Lord, I hope I get a watch for Christmas so that I can tell time. Oh, I've got a watch. He's saying the things we have, we don't need to hope for. We were given this hope when we were saved. And each one of us, when we were saved, we became a new creation. We were given a new life. And he goes on and says, but if we look forward to something we don't yet have, he says, we must. That means we have to. We must wait patiently and confidently. That means we sit and wait for it to come. But we also do it confidently, knowing that it will come. Like a poor little child on their birthday. I will sit patiently and wait for my birthday. When is it? Next November 1st. Well, son, you got to, you know, whatever. They got to wait patiently for another year. But they can sit and wait confidently that it's coming again. The good Lord willing. And it says in verse 26, it says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. I think we miss out a lot of times on the Holy Spirit aspect of church, if you will. And I think we kind of think, oh, well, I grew up and it was called the Holy Ghost, so we didn't talk about it a whole lot because it was kind of spooky. And we didn't fully understand it. And a lot of people have their ideas of how the Holy Spirit works. But if we review the Holy Spirit in the Bible and what it tells us about the Holy Spirit, that's the promised helper. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I will send the helper. And the Holy Spirit will be with you. Some of you have taken tests before and said, Lord, pray for me as I take this test. And I always pray, Holy Spirit, would you help bring to remembrance the things they need when they need it? And I also think about the young man in the Bible. He says, man, the Holy Spirit will give you the things to say. Don't worry about having this great voice that says all these things and speak confidently. He says, no, the Holy Spirit will give you the things to say at the time when you pray and when you ask for His help. And it says right here, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Church, we have to quit acting like we're strong enough to do it all ourselves, because we're not. We're not. Now, I got this. My Lord, I've gotten through this and this and this. I've come through these battles. And here I am today. Oh, you think you came through that on your own? Even more ignorance is showing through than we first thought. The Holy Spirit helped you in that journey. And in your weakness. And one of your weaknesses is your ignorance when you think you can do it alone without His help. I'm not calling you all ignorant. I'm saying that we are ignorant when we think that the Holy Spirit and God are not the people, are not the ones, are not the spirits that are helping us through our trials. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers. So when we go back, we were given this hope when we were saved. As believers, we know, hey, where's our hope come from? Jesus Christ. And by the way, He's gone and He's promised the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with us and help support us now. Now let's turn over a few chapters to Romans chapter 15. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, the source. Well, I thought my hope came from my husband, my wife, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my parents, my children. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy. Not just joy, joy and what? Joy and peace. Because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow overflow, have more than enough. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit again. The power of the Holy Spirit. So God is our source of hope. We get hope through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ came and gave us hope in the resurrection. Wow, that's like three in one. The Trinity. So we know that our source of hope comes from God. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me read one more scripture and then I'll get to my point. Now let's flip back to Romans chapter 12, right in the middle of the two we just read. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient." He's asking for our patience again in trouble. He says, "And keep on praying." So our hope comes from Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, through God, the source of our hope. Tells us to be patient in trials. Oh, that's telling us that we're going to face it. So we have to know that we have hope when we go through our trials. Guys, it could be relationship issues. It could be financial issues. It could be health issues. It could be spiritual issues. It could be emotional issues, mental issues. It could be all kinds of issues we're each facing. And each one of us has a different degree that we're facing it in. And how real it is to us. You ever tell someone what you're going through and they're like, "And? Good grief, you think that's a problem? We've just dismissed their issue as important to them. Because we wanted to focus on who? Ourselves. Now I want to get back to what I just read. I pray that God, the source of hope. And I said the source of hope comes from God. But I want us to look at things differently this year. And I don't want us to think hope in Jesus Christ, that's where we have our hope. But I want us to look and say, how can we be hope to others? And that's really what I want to focus on. How can we be hope to other people? If we've got hope, that's great. If we are comforted, that's great. If we have joy, that is great. If we have love, that's great. But the Bible tells us to do what with those? To share it. Remember the scripture that says, "Comfort those as I also have comforted you." When we do our foot washing service, I do this as an example. He says, "I've done this as an example. I've comforted you all. Now they need it. Could you all comfort them and show them how I comforted you in your time of need?" Now, for the short-sighted to think I've done it on my own, I don't need the Holy Spirit, okay, then usually we say things like, "You didn't come for me, God. I felt alone, I felt lost, I felt abandoned." But He tells us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And that comes from our lack of confidence in His Word. We can't press on as Christians, as believers, not believing what this says and what it tells us. And we have to know that He is there with us when we go through these things. He isn't the genie in a lamp that we rub and say, "Man, make this go away. I hope it goes away." That's not the hope He gives us. Those things come from, "I hope I get it." "What are you getting for Christmas?" "Ooh, I hope I get it," you know, whatever. That's not the hope He's talking about. He's talking about that hope that my brother referenced, that we get up each day and face the world again and everything we go through. We can look all around this place. My wife is very good at this. She tells people, "I don't care if you want to come to church. It's not about you. Your coming here may be a blessing to someone else." And don't for a minute one of you think, "Me not being here does not matter to somebody." It matters every time you're gone. Every one of you here, it matters when you're gone. When you're gone, it matters. When you were gone, it mattered. When you're gone, it matters. When you're gone, it matters. When you're not here, it matters, and it matters, and it matters to you. Young people in the back row there, it matters when you're not here. They don't care about me. Let me tell you about these young people, by the way. Turkey dinner, remember we just talked about how much they raised? Who do you think put this church together with all these Christmas decorations? Our youth group. Our young people came up here and did that. All right, yes. And still had the strength to bowl. Okay? It matters when you all are not here. When you're traveling, man, we are thankful for that. We're even a little jealous sometimes. But you matter when you're not here. And I'm telling you, think about those that are no longer with us. It matters when they're not here anymore. Bill Crane passed away 5 years ago today. It matters that he's not here. And it matters that his wife is not here, Helen. And just pray for her that she has comfort as well. Those of you that have been married many years like they've been know how difficult that road is. The loss of a loved one. Or can anticipate that. I want us to be hope to others. So when we say, I don't feel like going, I get it, but it's not about you. Sometimes it's about being a blessing to that person next to you, across the room from you. It's about you bringing your children that are a blessing to us. It's about bringing yourself that's a blessing to us. I could look around here to every single one of you and think of a time that you have blessed me by your mere presence, your invitation to an event, something you've said or done. And that's what I want us to focus on. Didn't I talk last year about someone carrying these things at school, strapping these on and carrying them around? But this is what I want us to be. I want us to be hope and light to others. Why? Because we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, are we not? That means we're to be His likeness. We're made in God's image. We should have His likeness in our character. We should have His likeness in our character, in our walk, in our talk, in our actions. As our band comes forward today, I want us to be a hope for others. And a hope for what? A hope for transformation. If they can't see transformation in us, why would they believe in what we tell them and how great our church is? Forget that. How great our God is. Really? Because I haven't seen transformation. So we have to give them hope of transformation, change, restoration, relief, healing. Even if He hasn't healed us, but we know He's healed others, we have to give them that hope of overcoming, of faith. Hope of seeing what? Hope of seeing hope. Man, if we walk around as Christ followers with no hope, that's what this is saying. We need to give them hope of having hope. So that they can get up and face the day. And let me tell you, our world needs hope. Our young people need hope. They need a reason to give up or to get up each day and not give up. They need to know that the world doesn't revolve around them. And it doesn't revolve around their parents. And it doesn't revolve around their boyfriends or their girlfriends. Or they're failing or passing a course. It's so much greater than that. And we have to give them hope in that. Amen. As we sing today and dismiss, I just want us to think as we go out this week, who can I give hope to? The Bible tells us know what our hope is for getting up each day. And we've got to be ready to give our hope that's within us. Let's find a reason to give others hope. Amen. Let's stand and worship.